Tonight I want to talk about letting metta in, which is a slightly different take on the teaching of metta, which usually envisions ourselves sending metta out. And before I throw this little twist into metta practice, I want to just quickly, I hope, review what it is traditionally. It's mentally repeating phrases like, may you feel peaceful and happy. May you feel safe and secure. May you be free from mental and physical suffering, etc. And usually the you in these phrases is imagined as different people or categories of people, starting with someone who's been good to you and for whom you have no mixed feelings. It's usually called a benefactor, and you just feel gratitude and appreciation. And then you move on to someone you don't really know, but who's in your life as a neutral person. And then someone with whom you have a mostly happy connection. And then someone with a little baggage. And then someone that's called the difficult person. And sometimes then just all beings. It isn't necessary in traditional metta practice to force feelings of loving kindness toward any of these beings. Some teachers suggest waiting for it or just watching for a moment to see what feelings do arise. But if none do, then that's fine. Just go on repeating the phrases in your mind and move on to each new category of beings. Sometimes what arises when we're practicing metta is the opposite of what the phrases are meant to convey. Often there's resistance, and this is really quite common, because this exercise is counter to the way most of us think and feel most of the time. Also, people often feel downright resentment toward people that they've chosen to represent each category, or toward themselves. And this can kind of freak you out if you're not warned about it in advance. But basically, the practice of metta is intended to be a trip through the heart, and it can often be a surprising one. We learn a lot about ourselves while we're at it. But no matter what comes up, the instruction is to just keep repeating the phrases through the categories, because the ancient teachings say that no matter what you feel at the moment, your effort in repeating those phrases will incline or retrain the mind and heart toward feeling more loving in the future. In other words, it's an act of cultivating metta or loving kindness, and it takes practice. There's a writer I encountered on the secularbuddhism.org website who talked about the difficulties that he had when he first started metta practice. He felt like it was fooling ourselves, a delusion that somehow the people we're sending metta to are going to benefit from it. Kind of akin to the magical aspect of prayer. I pray for you, you get better. My job, your job. This fellow said that sending metta to himself was nearly impossible because of his habit of seeing himself as undeserving, or the sense that wishing himself well was self-centered or narcissistic. I mean, it really is surprising when you start doing these exercises to find out how complicated we are. But this fellow on the website said that his teacher then, and I'll just read it, invited me to turn my awareness to someone who was easy for me to love. I thought of a close friend from whom I had recently been separated, and as I inwardly voiced the first metaphrases, a painful surge of emotion filled my chest, throat, eyes, and sinuses. I wasn't sure what had happened or what it meant, but I had an increased respect for the power of simple good wishes. The writer then asked, what are the benefits of metta? Speaking from my own experience, he said, the principal one is joy. While we may not always feel loving while we're doing the practice, by setting our intention to arouse metta, over time we do discover that a capacity for love and compassion is increasingly available to us. It is a joy filled with poignant meaning that arises from our recognition that we share our suffering and our happiness with everyone around us. The realization of an intimate connection with everyone we meet. I read that pretty much in total because I thought it said it very succinctly and directly. And this connectedness with all other beings is a really key understanding in all of the teachings, that we are interconnected with all beings. And it shows that we're not the separate entities we usually think we are. This writer goes on to say, because this joy is based in our sense of shared humanity, metta practice is also effective in softening our perception of ourselves as isolated, threatened individuals. What a terrible perception that is to live with. He says, it is a tangible realization of the principle of not self. And it is a joy that finds its foundation in our growing ability to accept ourselves and others just as we are. So in this way, metta practice gives us the ability to open the heart and let go of the clinging that's central to the phenomenon of dukkha, or suffering. And that's the clinging to our sense of self. This idea we have of what and who we are. Just let it go. You won't be crazy. There's a Indian teacher called Acharya Buddharakita who wrote an article on the psychology of universal love, or metta. He compares metta practice, and again, bear with me, I'm going to read it because it's kind of poetic. He compares metta to bringing into being a great tree from the time the seed is sown to the time the tree is heavily laden with luscious fruits and sends forth its sweet odor far and wide, attracting myriads of creatures to enjoy its tasty and nutritious bounty. So that's what our meta looks like once we've cultivated it. So in almost all discussions of meta, the focus is on how good it is for us to open our hearts through loving kindness. And I like this last quote I just read because it shows how the transformation in us is a benefit to others. It is transactional. And I want to explore the other end of that transaction tonight to see how either the natural metta or the cultivated metta of others can help us. In other words, there are people out there who are just naturally kind, and then there are Buddhists who've been practicing metta, and they've developed this loving kindness. And it can help us. It can help us in our metta practice and in our daily lives, because it can jumpstart our metta practice with the very energy we're trying to cultivate, if we let it in, if we notice it and we let ourselves feel it. In its very nature, metta is universal to all beings. It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't say, well, I'm going to send metta out to everybody but all the people who've ever irritated me. Everybody but them. No, it's everybody, all beings. And that's why we gradually move up to that difficult person when we're practicing metta, because, yeah, that's a challenge. But eventually, we can get there. However, in this culture, we're so used to thinking of ourselves as separate entities that seeing the universality of metta is both the great challenge and the great benefit of the practice. There are cultures, really, that are a little less centered on the individual self. And there, practicing metta is assumed to automatically send the benefit back to the practitioner. But we sometimes cut off that flow back to ourselves by the way we see ourselves as disconnected from other beings. So I want to emphasize a slight change in perspective toward metta practice that might make it flow more easily. There was a student who was telling about an exchange she had with a teacher, explaining the trouble that she had summoning up the energy for metta during her practice. And she says when she was done talking, the teacher asked, "Are you sending metta or receiving metta?" And the student said that just this question shifted her perspective enough that it was then much easier for her to cultivate loving kindness, to see that part of it was receiving it. I have spent a couple of days now searching the suttas, and I have to confess that I found very little specifically about receiving metta, except there are several references to a fellow named Matakundali, who was the dying son of a miserly father who was too cheap to get him medical attention until it was too late. This dad was such a miser that he moved his dying son out onto the porch of the house so that people who would come to see the son wouldn't go into the house and see how much wealth was hidden in there. Well, in his omniscient vision, the Buddha saw Matakundali and went to visit the boy. And in this story, it's just casually noted that the boy received Buddha's metta. And as so often happens with those beings who are so lucky to be able to connect with the Buddha, the boy then died and was immediately born into a higher realm. And currently in Burma, it is traditional for people who go visit the monasteries to receive metta from the sayadaws, the senior monks. This is just one of those public services that the monasteries do, along with giving food to the poor and providing education, medical care. So I'm not making this up. Even though I can't cite much of a sutta, it's, it may be that I'm just bringing to the fore something that other cultures take for granted and don't really need to say. But it's just not really a part of Western culture. In my research, I also ran across a comment in an online blog that shifts the dynamic of metta practice in a way that can be helpful. This person said that they start their metta practice by visualizing someone close to them, whom they trust, looking at them, and saying those metta phrases for them. And that seems to have changed the student's energy in generating metta by just being able to think of also receiving it. Another commenter in this blog chain built on this approach by suggesting that instead of imagining ourselves sending metta to others, which takes an element of striving, they saw themselves allowing it to overflow from inside themselves toward the recipient. Both approaches see metta as something universally available and beneficial to all beings, of whom we are all one. I envision this as practicing metta being more like opening a water gate and letting it flow of its own power. And that flow is also always toward us as well, because we're part of everyone. When I was on a retreat at Spirit Rock, one of the teachers told a story of when she was on retreat years before, and it was mindfulness practice, and she had gotten to some pretty difficult feelings that she had had for many years. And she was in her room crying when she remembered that at any moment there were thousands of Buddhists all around the world who were doing metta practice and sending loving kindness to all beings. And she thought, I'm a being, so thousands of mindful people are sending metta to me right now. And like a big atmospheric river, she saw goodwill flowing just overhead, and she reached up and dipped into it, and it bathed her in a sense of comfort. We can receive metta in less abstract ways, too. I encountered a touching story by a woman named Sheila Singh, who confessed that recently she had been unkind to her body. She was skiing, biking, and running, and managed to give herself a really swollen knee. She was blaming herself for it, of course, some pretty harsh feelings that she had toward herself for not being more attentive to this developing problem. And her 7-year-old daughter came up and asked, "Mommy, can I sleep with you tonight?" And the mother said that this little girl is just naturally a very empathetic and loving child. And Sheila said, yeah, because secretly she wanted to sleep with her little girl, too. So Sheila got ready for sleep and then walked in to see that her bed had been all made up for her. She says that her daughter had piled 3 pillows onto her side of the bed and laid the little girl's own favorite soft pink blanket over these pillows so that Sheila could elevate her legs. She said, it was the most beautiful gesture of care and kindness out of the sweet innocence of her big heart. In that moment, I was reminded that this wellspring of kindness is within all of us, and especially within her. Perhaps I have not been so kind to myself in the last few weeks. But last night I received metta and kindness from my sweet baby girl. Metta really is all around us. It's often so diffuse and subtle that we don't notice or recognize it. I remember early in my own practice, about a quarter century ago, when I still wasn't sure I'd ever even experienced loving kindness. I'd been saying the phrases for many months, but I wasn't sure that I had felt it, and I even doubted that I could. There was a small voice of rationalization in the back of my mind that was saying, well, that's understandable because this is such a dog-eat-dog world. It's not your fault, Rebecca. And not long after that, it was at night, and I was driving home through the mountains after a long, tiring day of skiing, thinking about this metta thing and about how hard it was to connect with metta in this harsh society of ours. When I suddenly saw little glowing patches of color all around me. It wasn't hallucinating. There were little squares of pale golden light on the road to my left and suspended in the air by the side of the road on my right. And then it hit me, that was metta. Those were what little things that I call the bumpets in the road that run down the center line, you know, on the left as you're driving, that let you know if you're veering out of the lane, and then up on the poles, the reflector lights that let you know that you're about to go off the pavement if you don't keep going straight. And these, each one of these countless little spots of light were the wishes of our society that I would drive down that mountain and then across that valley at night and arrive home safely. And I can remember now the feeling that I had then. It was like a door swinging open inward, letting something wonderful into my heart. It isn't such a harsh world, I realized. In fact, evidence of love for all beings can be seen everywhere. if only I let myself see it. About an hour later, I was in the valley, driving parallel to the railroad track, and a train was going along about the same speed I was going. I looked over, and through the golden windows, I could see so many people's heads and shoulders floating along with me as I traveled, and they were just silently accompanying me on my journey. And I have to say, for the first time I can remember, I felt goodwill toward complete strangers spontaneously come into my heart. I just was hoping they were enjoying their safe, easy trip. And that feeling was accompanied by joy, sort of like a much gentler form of falling in love. At that moment, I understood that there is a cosmic exchange of loving kindness that we can tap into at any time. Another thing I started fairly early in my practice was making an effort to bring cheer to people that I encounter when I run errands, cashiers, clerks, fellow shoppers, even motorists. Maybe I just do a really simple act of kindness, like pausing before I get into somebody's way or stepping out of their way, or smiling, just giving somebody a smile as I go by. It makes me feel good, like I'm connected to other people, and especially those occasions when there's an exchange of pleasantries, and we're both acknowledging, you're being nice to me, I'm being nice to you. It's a feel-good moment. And this has become a habit now that kind of drives my wife nuts. But I do it kind of without thinking or really trying to. After keeping this up for so many years, it occurred to me a while ago that you know, others are taking the initiative to send kindness to me. I'm not always the instigator of this, and I've begun to stay on the alert for this and appreciate it whenever someone lets me into the lane of traffic or holds a door open when I'm having a little trouble walking or just smiles at me for no reason. And this has become another wonderful aspect of my metta practice, making a conscious decision to take it in, to let myself feel someone sending loving kindness to me. So my job is to notice when anyone acts kindly and appreciate it. It's like when someone gives you a gift or a compliment, you allow yourself to feel the giver's motivation and the desire for your happiness that's part of that motivation. And whenever I can do that, then it feels like a deep pool within me that I'm not just sending out. I'm not just making this effort to send it out. I'm simply directing the overflow toward all sentient beings and splashing around in it joyfully myself. So tonight I invite you to let yourself receive my metta without worrying about changing your position. Just let your mind come into this moment and know that I care about your well-being. As I say these words, they may bring up a feeling, a sense of receiving my kindness toward you. You might imagine this as a beautifully colored gathering of light above your head or within your heart. And you may also sense a chorus behind me of all other beings that are practicing metta, or ever have, or ever will, saying to you, may you feel peaceful and happy. Imagine a feeling free of agitation, of infinite calm and relaxation, without the disturbance of any cares or concerns. Peaceful. Give yourself permission to have that feeling, to savor it, luxuriate, and revel in it. Say to yourself, may I feel peaceful, and enjoy the feeling those words evoke. Then bring into this tranquility the element of energy, delight, or whatever else for you is the essence of being happy, and give yourself wholehearted permission to thoroughly enjoy that feeling too. May you feel peaceful and happy. May you feel safe and confident. Let yourself feel what it would be like to be completely free of anxiety or a sense of vigilance against any threats. Just safe, and imagine that this sense of complete safety is permanent, with a confidence that you will never need to be anxious again. Safe and secure. Join me in wishing this for you, saying, may I feel safe and confident. May you feel free from the suffering of body or mind. What if you were free from all suffering? Imagine that whatever suffering arose, whether it was in your body or your mind, it would not stick to you. You don't have to take that suffering in or make it a part of you. Even if you can't see how this would work, explore how it might feel to live without the burden of any distress. Join me in giving yourself this gift, saying, may I feel free from the suffering of body or mind. May you know and accept yourself just as you are. Imagine that there is nothing about yourself that you don't know and accept. No forgotten shames or hurts or regrets. Everything acknowledged and accepted with a sense of embracing yourself and loving yourself fully. Allow this feeling into your heart, saying, may I love and accept myself just as I am. And if you forget that all that goodwill is there, as you go through your life, let yourself be reminded by the acts of others, demonstrating that you're not separate from this universal loving kindness, that being loved and receiving kindness is inherent in your nature and the birthright of us all. Thank you.